Hi, and welcome to La Cosa Nostra. I'm Edward.
I'm Noah.
And today we're talking about 2004, Michael Gondry's Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, starring Jim Carrey, Kate Winslet, and Tom Wilkinson.
Yeah, so, as we always start, when was the first time you watched Eternal Sunshine?
I think it couldn't have been more than maybe 4 months ago. I was, you know, on Netflix. I'd heard, unfortunately, I have to admit, I heard it off Instagram that it was very good. Because it's sort
always
of that,
the best place to hear it.
Yeah, it's just, you know, movie talk. It's great. I watched it, obviously, very weird experience. It's an interesting one, and it's something very you wouldn't expect from Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
And you?
It's weird. I've always known of this movie. I've always known that it's around. And I don't think I properly... I always liked Jim Carrey as an actor, but I only started to get into him like only like a year or two ago. And this was just one of the movies that everybody has always said, it's incredible. So I was like, one day I was like, okay, yeah, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to watch this movie, and wow, it's really something.
Yeah.
So...
would you say, so controversial question here, is this Jim Carrey's best performance?
Okay.
Because, I mean, is it... There's The Truman Show, and in my opinion, I prefer this because it's something very different. Because in The Truman Show, there's still that level of comedy, like acting, yeah, for the period where he's kind of a game show host, but like it's his life.
Yeah.
As Eternal Sunshine, he is like sad.
Okay.
Like he is very depressed.
I know, but like, okay, the thing with Jim Carrey, I think he is such an underrated actor.
That is
like,
true.
Not just with his comedic roles. I mean, I love The Mask, Ace Ventura, you know, all those Liar Liar, all those movies. And when it comes to him being a dramatic actor, I feel people don't give him enough credit.
Yeah,
like,
he's
like, I've
good.
Seen The Truman Show. There's also Man on the Moon where he
Is Man on the Moon, is that...
Man on the Moon, it's actually quite good. It's quite good where he portrays comedian Andy Kaufman. Personally, that might be my favourite dramatic role that he's done.
Yeah.
But this is... The problem with this movie, I like him in this. He is good. But I only see Jim Carrey playing a character.
Yeah.
I don't see him portraying, like, Joel Barish in this movie.
Yeah.
Personally.
Okay.
I like him. He's doing well. But I kind of feel like this is just Jim Carrey. This is just Jim Carrey being Jim Carrey. You know, I can see him. He's doing a good performance, but all I see is a performance.
I think to a certain extent, Joel Barish is the saddest version of Jim Carrey. Like, that is his character, essentially.
Yeah. And Jim Carrey, he's been through a lot. Yeah. He has been through a lot.
Everyone sees him as, like, the funny guy. But, like, he's had a lot of problems with his mental health, like, over his career. And I think I saw somewhere an interview with Jim Carrey, and he was saying that when Michael Gondry, like, sat down for dinner with him to discuss the, ability of making this film, he said, like, Jim Carrey was going through a really tough time. He broke up with his girlfriend.
Yeah, I think I know what he said.
And he said, you look so beautifully depressed right now. Don't get better.
He's like, you're so beautiful. And then, like, don't not get well.
Yeah, and the opening scene of this film is, like, really sad. I mean, it's very... it hits you quite
it's
hard.
Very,
just,
yeah.
Because it's out of the blue. You got him crying in the car, throwing away CDs, and you don't really understand. And obviously, over the course of the film, you understand it more. But I think Jim Carrey does a brilliant job in this film. But I think, as well as that, I think Kate Winslet helps him a lot. I mean, I haven't seen that much of Kate Winslet. I saw her in Titanic.
I saw her in... I can't remember what I saw. I saw her in something else. She's a good... I had no idea she was British. I genuinely had no idea.
This is a huge change, right? Like, she goes from playing Rose, who... I'm sorry to every, like, Titanic cinephile. Like, I hate Rose. She's just annoying to me.
Okay.
There's enough space on the door for both of them.
I know.
Anyway, we'll go over this another time, but...
Actually, you better be careful, like, spoiler alert for, like, I don't know, like an 18-year-old movie.
Yeah, if you haven't seen Titanic, I don't really know what you're doing. And if you haven't seen Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, go watch it. It's actually amazing.
Yeah, so for me, this is the third time Jim Carrey got snubbed for an Oscar, though. He got snubbed for Truman Show. I feel he got snubbed for Man on the Moon. He got snubbed for this one as well. He won the Golden Globe for Best Actor. I'm not sure. He got nominated this time round.
Honestly, I have a horrible feeling that, like, The Oscars are actually worse than the Golden Globes. And at this point, we should just trust the Golden Globes. I genuinely feel
nobody cares about the Golden Globes. I did not even know the Golden Globes well until some people were saying yesterday, oh, Zendaya's engaged or something. I don't even know. And I was like, oh, God, the Golden Globes are out. I just genuinely feel that people don't really care about it that much. You're going to have to check 2005.
I think, yeah, I feel like at this point, the Golden Globes are just way more reliable. Yeah. Okay, no, actually, I do think that he deserves that.
What's this for? Charles?
Jamie Foxx won for Ray. He glued his own eye shut. Eye shot for that film.
Jeez, wow.
I think he deserved that one. Like, as much as I love Jim Carrey, I love his performance in this. I know. That's...
So he won... No, actually, because there's Golden Globe for best comedic... For best actor, comedy or musical.
He wouldn't have won it for that. This isn't a comedy. He would have won it for Best Actor.
No, but he was nominated for Best Comedy, I'm pretty sure.
Well, I suppose...
I'd have to check again, but, like...
It's a horror...
Because he won Best Actor for Comedy or Musical in a row for Truman Show and Man on the Moon.
Yeah.
So, it'd be weird. I don't understand why they would, but,
Okay. So, I feel like in general, the cast of this movie... is amazing.
It really is amazing.
And also, it's really weird that they're all in this film.
Yeah, I didn't... Like, these people just started popping up here and I was like, oh, you're in
this.
Yeah,
this film feels like it should be a grunge indie movie. Like, it doesn't feel like something that should be on a cinema screen.
Is it not an indie movie?
I would say it is, but it doesn't feel like it should be on a cinema screen.
With all these actors, yeah.
But the fact you've got Mark Ruffalo, Kirsten Dunst, coming off... Spider-Man.
That's the same year, wasn't it?
And
Spider-Man 2 was the same year.
Mark Ruffalo was probably coming off 13... going on 30.
That's true. That's very true.
And you've also got Elijah Wood. And this was the end of the, Lord of the Rings era.
Yeah.
I don't know how they've managed to snag these guys in here. But, I mean, it's quite amazing. And Elijah Wood, it's very different to what he did. He does a very good job there. He's really annoying, but he did a really good job there. Kirsten Dunst, she was actually really good. I mean, at the beginning of the show, I wasn't too sure because she basically was just like, I've been broken up with, or I love you. But towards the end, that was actually really good. Mark Ruffalo as well is very good at being clueless, weirdly, which is very different to what he does.
It says here that Michael Gondry's original choice was Nicolas Cage.
That just wouldn't have worked.
That would have been so funny. I really would have. I want to see a movie with Nicolas Cage.
She'd have the Nicolas Cage voice as well.
I will watch anything with Nicolas Cage in it.
Okay. So, I mean, there's a lot you can praise this movie about, but I feel like the ultimate thing that's the best thing about it is symbolism in the film is amazing. Mm. I mean, you can't really say a lot for its cinematography or, it doesn't have the best costume design.
Yeah, but,
But it does well, and I think. The cinematography of the film in the real world isn't great, but as soon as you enter Jim Carrey's head in this film,
mm-hmm.
it's quite a bit.
It's so creative.
There's so many details, like that when he redoes the library scene and he's forgotten all of the names of the books on the shelves, they're faced so you can only see the pages, not the titles. Or the scenes gradually get quieter as he forgets the people around him in the scenes.
And we never see Elijah Wood in his mind because he doesn't know
he doesn't know him.
Yeah,
I think it's very creatively done. I think the design of the film is very pretty. I like the aesthetic or the vibe of it. It's very nice. I think the writing is really good. The plot and the
non-linear
script is
yeah
really interesting. I like the jumping back and forth. I think. It's just in general, it's a very well done film, and
I think it won the Oscar for best original screenplay.
I think it's something that a lot of people will overlook as being the second best to something 500 Days of Summer, or because there's now a genre of films which is horror rom-coms where things don't go well in the end. And I think this is something that
Well, this
film,
is more optimistic than... I personally find it more optimistic than 500 Days of Summer.
I saw a video kind of documentary breakdown of it that said the ending of it, when they're playing on the beach in the snow, having realised that, they could be together again and they remember each other, it stutters 5 or 6 times. And
it does,
what it insinuates is that she and he repeat the relationship dynamic over
and over
again.
Yeah, that's the thing, because the movie kind of starts off again.
Yeah, like, and you don't know how many times this could go on for.
I know. So, yeah.
And I feel like ultimately it's the really depressing version of Scott Pilgrim. Because you've got the girlfriend who dyes her hair and the really loser, like, boyfriend.
Yeah, okay. When you say it, when you put it like that, like, I can see that. Yeah. So do you think this is Jim Carrey's best performance?
Personally, yes. I mean, I love Truman Show. It's very creative, again. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting film.
I prefer
film.
The Truman Show that to this.
I think this film has a certain element to it that is missing in modern films.
Mm-hmm.
As I think something like The Truman Show, obviously, it did a lot better commercially, I think.
Yeah, but that was during, like, Jim Carrey's height.
I know, yeah.
He had come off, like, Liar Liar and, like, and Ace Ventura and stuff and Batman Forever. It was obviously going to be, like, quite high.
There's a tint of kind of charm to The Truman Show that makes it seem... It is essentially a little bit of a comedy. I mean, obviously, it's super, like, deep and questioning your own reality and stuff, but it's quite... It is, like, yeah. You get that feeling that it's still a Carrey comedy. Yeah. As this film...
Which isn't too much of a problem.
Yeah, like, it works for the film, but this film is just different. Like... Mm. It's something you won't see anymore because it's not Nolan or Villeneuve or, you know, it's not a Ridley Scott kind of movie, or it's just like a gem that's kind of lost now. You're not going to remake it because it's weird, right? If you try to pitch that to a studio now, they're not going to make it. And I think we got very
lucky. Obviously not in... Yeah, this is a product of like a really bygone era where indie films can still do really well alongside the Lord of the Rings and the Harry Potters and the Pirates of the Caribbean. So it's like, I genuinely do not see a movie like this coming out with all these actors unless it's from A24.
Yeah, and A24 is the only thing that's kind of carrying
and
on
even
the
at
bar.
That, I don't even think it'd go to theaters.
Yeah, because like,
I don't even think it'd go to theaters.
Because A24, recently, they've had a lot of films that have this kind of feeling to them, like I saw the TV Glow, which is supposed to be quite similar, with the kind of almost horror, almost not vibe. And then you have stuff like Minari that's got that kind of... Because slice of life movies, which this kind of is, but vamped up a bit, don't really work now because there's not enough going on to interest people. So a film like Minari and stuff like Heretic, Beef... loads of stuff like I can't name all the A24 movies, but a lot of it is very similar.
Did they Midsommar?
They did Midsommar as well. Yeah. And even like the new one coming out,
Lady
Baby
Bird?
Girl.
Did they do Lady Bird?
They did do Lady Bird.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of the cool indie movies coming out now is A24, and a lot of actors want to do A24 movies because it's kind of a chance to pivot your career. The last time I saw that not by A24 would have been Birdman, which was. It's a lot like this, Birdman, in the way that it's something out there and different that you wouldn't be used to. And it's kind
I don't
of.
I know, you've got. What?
I mean, you've
everything,
got Edward Norton.
I was thinking Everything Everywhere.
That's
A24. Oh, yeah, that's true.
Which is similar to this film. I guess you could say Spider-Verse, but I mean, that's a superhero movie. Yeah, that's kind of. There's something to this film that's mind bending, I think. And something that you won't see anymore. So when you watch it, come back to it. It's quite a weird experience. I mean, the idea that you have Jim Carrey playing childhood himself at the same time as adult himself, and then also have an actor to play child Jim Carrey for different shots, it kind of hurts your brain. But then it's a different kind of mind-bending to something that you have with, like, Nolan or Villeneuve, where it's kind of, like, pretentious mind-bending.
Yeah, I think that firstly, with Nolan ones, they kind of insult your intelligence.
Mm.
With this one...
It's like if you don't understand it,
exactly,
you just shouldn't
watch it. Too bad. This one, it feels like it's a movie you can still follow on fine. It's mind-bending.
There's different levels to it.
Yeah, it's levels.
So everyone can enjoy it, but people will enjoy it in different ways. Yeah. And I think for those who grapple well with Nolan and Villeneuve, they'll find this movie much more depressing than someone who prefers your action movies and stuff.
Yeah.
Because there's a level to it that when you watch it deeper... you have this kind of underlying feeling that Joel Barish, Jim Carrey's character, is never going to have what he wants with Kate Winslet's character. And it was quite interesting for me to watch a kind of Memento-esque backwards escalation.
Yeah.
All the way back to his childhood was interesting. And then having kind of his memory of Kate Winslet, which, you know, is interesting because it kind of gives the unreliable narrator trope, kind of like Memento and kind of like loads of stories where they kind of tell it back to you. So like Coco and stuff like that, where you don't know if they're telling the truth because it's how they remember it. Mm-hmm. So having the memory of Kate Winslet being very clever compared to what we saw,
that's telling him, like, I never thought about it like that.
Telling him how to hide herself was something I found quite interesting.
I just want to say, like, it's kind of a detail, but it's just, I kind of feel bad for, like, Jim Carrey. Like, in this world, you don't really have, like, you don't have comedy movies anymore.
Not really, no.
They don't really exist. So many actors like him, I'm just thinking, like, Will Ferrell, Steve Carell, just, like...
All the comedy movies that there are, they're not the same quality, like...
Yeah.
Because the peak
I'm thinking,
of it,
like, those super bad,
yeah,
not,
super bad,
up,
like, 21, Juno.
Yeah, Juno. I'm just thinking, all those movies, they just don't exist.
Elf, yeah, like, Elf, it's, Step Brothers. They just, because they're just too gone. Controversial now.
I,
like,
know, you couldn't make them nowadays, that's the thing.
Like, even, like...
Definitely not like
an Elf and like loads of movies like that. Like,
I'm even thinking of some of his own, like Ace Ventura. Like,
even like
that, never.
Yeah, Ace Ventura wouldn't be made, especially not the second one. Yeah.
Oh, and, like, I saw the second one.
Like, Love Actually as well just would not be made because, like, the whole fat shaming thing would just get it taken down.
And then, like, in Ace Ventura, there's apparently something with, like, transgender issues.
Oh, yeah. Like, the whole third act of the film where it's,
and people,
like,
throwing up
dude.
When they found out the woman is a man. Like, it's like all these movies don't exist. And I don't know. It's so weird that we don't live in a world without comedy movies anymore.
Yeah, well, I mean, there are, but they're all kind of, you know, safe comedy.
Well, they don't even go to theatres. That's the thing.
They're all straight to DVD or straight to Netflix.
So, all Jim Carrey does nowadays, I mean,
and
Sonic
these
3.
As well. Like, films like Eternal Sunshine will go straight to Netflix.
They do exist. These ones have a better chance to exist. They, like, the film, like, A Truman Show would not be made.
I feel like...
Or it would at least not go to theatres.
Yeah.
Like, not only because we, in this world, there's no such thing as, like, the star. Like, the star power.
Because I think
cinema
now is a lot about money.
I know. There's no such thing as star power. You don't go to a movie to go watch Tom Holland or something like that. Or you don't go to a movie to go see Jim Carrey.
Well, a lot of people
Carrey.
Do.
No, I remember when Uncharted came out.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody saw that. So it doesn't really matter who you are. So that's kind of the thing. A movie like this can't really come out and do well because it doesn't really matter who the star is. It's all about the IP.
I think also the other thing I think is very unique about this. I think ultimately the reason that this film would get very high on our ratings would be it's so unique.
So you don't.
You're
see
never going to see something.
You didn't
like
see it in
again.
The past. You don't and, see it now. It's kind of like one of a kind.
And it's like. The ability to subtly put sci-fi in without changing the world is something now you only see in surreal movies, like Sorry to Bother You, like any kind of, like Atlanta and stuff like that. But they take it way further. As in this film, you know, they just kind of put in, you can erase people from your mind in this world. And we believe it. And we just kind of go with the flow. And it's not something like, how does this work? How does that work? Because they make it kind of a minor detail that you just kind of go with the flow, and movies at the moment don't really, like, go with that. And even movies of the same generation, like, it's kind of it's something that this movie only can do.
Lost in Translation. Have you seen that? Is that...
No, I started watching it, but I got...
Did you get bored? Because I was thinking about watching it, and I was just...
There are so many movies of the generation of this that's just...
Yeah.
It scores so highly because you just never see it anymore.
I know. What was I going to say? Yeah, that quote that you said from Michael Gondry, is from a documentary called Jim and Andy. It's on Netflix. It's very good.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's very good. It's all about, like, the production of Man on the Moon and, like, how Jim Carrey felt, like, at the time, playing Andy Kaufman, and how he kind of went insane and stuff. It's a very good documentary, and it touches on Eternal Sunshine as well.
I think...
That's very good. That's very interesting, them going from childhood.
Jim Carrey in this movie is so versatile. Yeah. And that's personally why I find it to be the best movie. Even Kate Winslet, the ability to jump between, like, multiple versions of the same character and, like, being able to, so many different emotions are in this
film.
I know,
he goes through so much.
To the max.
So many different
emotions. It's quite impressive to be able to do that.
Like, I just want to say, like, Jim Carrey is such a good actor. He went from doing, I think it's... How the Grinch Stole Christmas, then Bruce Almighty, then Eternal Sunshine here, and then, like, A Series of Unfortunate Events. I don't know how you go from playing a lot of goofy characters then to this, and then just going back in, like, that really short amount of time. It really is, like... I think he is one of the most incredible actors, and I don't think he gets enough.
Yeah. Price. Yeah. And I think the other thing this movie does a lot is obviously the film is about Joel Barish, but it covers a lot about other characters. It covers
characters. A lot. I ended up getting invested in the other characters, like about...
Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah, like how the relationship with Tom Wilkinson's character. Yeah. That was really interesting as well.
And even the fact, like, most movies wouldn't have brought in Tom Wilkinson's wife for 5 minutes.
I know, it was like for 5 minutes. I was kind of confused when it kind of just... stopped, like, they didn't bring it
back.
But
it's something very realistic. It's kind of, it's something where they put an idea into a, they take quite a basic plot of a breakup, which something like 500 Days of Summer does, and then they kind of incept a weird kind of idea of you could erase people's minds, and they see naturally how that would affect a film and how that would affect the flow of life. And it feels very much what would happen.
Yeah.
And it feels
because this feels like if it could happen, this is how it would happen.
Yeah, and how many people does it affect?
I know that's very true. Yeah. Okay, so what are we gonna give this movie?
Oh, I feel like it's about time as a show.
David
Cross is underrated.
Uncle Ian is in this.
He's done a lot. Yeah. He was in Sorry to Bother You. He did one of the white voices for Sorry to Bother You, and I didn't know that. And that was I learned this morning. It's like, wow. Yeah, he's in this. Friends to Joel Barish. Jeez,
wow. Okay, I completely forgot about that. Yeah.
And the opening scene of Jim Carrey crying and
But no, that's where it kind of fell apart for me. Whereas like, I'm seeing him give a very good performance, then I'm just seeing Jim Carrey give a performance. I'm not seeing Joel Barish. That's the thing.
There's so much to this film. Yeah. It's quite hard to unpack it all because it's knotted so tightly.
I know.
I think
I'd have to watch it again.
Yeah, I think as a podcast, we should start putting in a kind of definitive rating system. How does the ratings work? We're giving them out of 5 because we have a Letterboxd. Please do follow it.
Yeah, but there's like you have to put into fact like art direction and stuff. And, like, it's good, but it's not, like, amazing or anything.
Yeah.
But, like, that's comparing the... You can't really compare those two things.
It has so much soul, this film.
I know, yeah.
Personally, I'm going for a 5. I think it's a brilliant example, top of a genre. It kind of set the way. It was... it's got amazing performances. It has, like, interesting cinematography. It's got good themes. It feels like a Radiohead song as a movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's got, like... I love the way that the erasing the memories looks and feels. And it has the beginnings of a horror movie with the way people look when they're erased and stuff.
Yeah.
And the jumping between memories, I think it was still clear, even though it had a very unlinear storyline, very jagged, which matched the story. I think it was very carefully thought out. And the fact that the director is an artist instead of a director.
Yeah.
You can feel it. And although it doesn't, maybe it's not as clear as it could be, it's a very much of a breath of fresh air that you won't see again. It's interesting. It's got something different that you, if you were a movie maker and you watch this, you'd want to incorporate into your films, mm-hmm. I think.
With me, it's like, this is a very, very good film. Every year on Letterboxd, I always put a list of all the movies that I've seen all the movies I've seen for the first time across the year. This reached number 2. Not gonna lie, after this, I think it's going down like maybe two, three notches, or like, because I realize how this is a good Jim Carrey performance, but at the same time, I'm just seeing a performance from him. The performances in most of his comedy movies and The Truman Show, A Man on the Moon, feel more genuine to me.
Yeah. No, I see what you're
calling. It's a good performance, but it's just a performance. But, like, everything else about this movie is great as well. Like, I genuinely have... This is one of the few movies I have no problems with. Yeah. Like, and The Truman Show was number 1 for me.
Probably. I think to a level... it's because he's, like, a chameleon as an actor. He takes so many different roles. It's kind of interesting to see him just... play a depressed Jim Carrey.
I know.
And it's something so... like,
and it's something that he can actually, like...
relate to.
Sadly, relate with, because apparently, like, he was on, like, Prozac and, like, stuff like that.
So many things.
He was, like, during... around this time that he was just, he was messed up, and he even said the thing that Michael Gondry told him, like, you look so broken, don't get well. That was just, and he even said after saying, in the documentary, he said, like, that's just how, you know, like, effed up. That's how effed up Hollywood is.
Yeah.
So, you know, but like, it is genuinely a good performance, and everything about it is great. I want to give it 5 stars, but it's probably a 4.5.
So, averaging out,
it's 4.5.
It's a 4.5 stars. I think it's a brilliant movie. There's a couple of holes, it not being directed in a conventional sense by a director. I think as a film, it's something you need to watch at least once.
Yeah, you need to. This is one of those movies you have to see now.
You'll love it or you'll hate it. I think is.
No, I can't see anybody hating this. Like,
I just think
you either feel either really like it or you feel indifferent to it. In my opinion,
I think it's art, really. It's kind of if abstract art was a film.
Yeah, this is probably.
And with that, I think that brings our conversation to a close.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for listening. I've been Edward. I've
been Noah.
Thank you for listening to La Cosa Nostra.